Did you hear about the new pandemic?
I did. Yeah, I heard a little bit about it.
There's Fauci's second in command, Dr. Peter Hotez. I saw in one of your videos, you were saying that when you see Fauci, you just know that you feel a little sick. But now he's been saying that on January 21st, there's a big chance that there will be a new pandemic. I went to India. People told me, oh, you're going to be traumatized going to India. Are you sure you want to go? I don't know why they were saying this. And I went there. It was a shock for me. After 2 days, I wanted to live. Especially, I went to a village, I went to an ashram, and I was like, whoa. But when I come back to France, that's when the trauma came, actually, because I realized, yes, economically, France has more money, maybe, but India is more rich.
The number one thing that people can do in this current environment is minimize ultra-processed foods. What do I mean by this? So these are foods that you buy in a package. So what you want to do is eat real food, which means buying ingredients, ideally fresh, organic, from a natural farm. Cook yourself. Nothing beats cooking yourself. You know what's in the food. And then after that, my diet tips would be always optimize protein intake, especially as anybody gets older.
And so do you advise them to take an extra protein on the side, like a protein powder or something?
I'm okay with protein powders. Just be careful that you are having minimally processed. Have it as pure as possible. And a lot of the protein drinks that you can get are full of sugars and the processed materials. So be very careful. But I'm totally okay with protein powder. I consume that sometimes too.
Hey, what about supplements? Do you recommend people to take supplements?
I do. Yeah. So my three favorite supplements by far, if you can't get it naturally, turmeric, ginger, and vitamin D.
So thank you very much for joining us today for another episode on the Sanskriti Radio channel. Today, I'm very pleased to welcome Dr. Sunil Dong to this new episode. I was very pleased to discover him actually on YouTube recently because he speaks the truth. He speaks the truth, and there's not many of them out there. Hi, Dr. Sunil Dong. Welcome.
Thank you. It's great to join you. Appreciate the invite.
Oh, yeah. I'm very pleased. So you are an internal medicine physician. You are a speaker. You are what I would call a common sense person.
Thank you.
But what I would like to start with is saying that it's so refreshing to hear about doctors and someone in the medical field daring to go online and to talk common sense and to talk science. We don't hear enough voices like you, unfortunately, but I believe the truth is contagious. So hopefully I feel this will empower other doctors to also, we will talk about this later. But, so you went to, like usual, medical school in England, I believe.
Correct. Yeah.
And when you make this decision, I want to become a doctor, I'm sure you were like full of hope. You've taken this decision because you wanted to make the world a better place. But can you tell us more about like your journey and especially how you opened your eyes? When did you open your eyes to this, to the reality actually of this medical system and how it is, maybe not in the best interest of all?
Yeah. Well, great question. And yeah, you're right. I believe when most people start medical school, most young people, they are very bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. They're very idealistic. And I very much started that way. Now, to be fair, when I started medical school, I don't think that we had a lot of the health crises that we do now with metabolic health. I know in France, obesity rates are much lower, although you are getting worse too.
Yes.
So I went through medical school, very much thought that the system was there to help people and we had good leaders at the top. Then I worked in the National Health Service of the UK maybe for a year before coming to the United States to train. And I would say after I did my residency training and started working in the US, I realized that most of what we were seeing was related to lifestyle disease and we had the wrong paradigm. We're just throwing medicines at people while they're pouring toxins into their body. It made no sense. Yeah. So I started blogging, I started writing about that. So my eyes were already beginning to open to how the establishment was not really on the side of the patients, how there were all sorts of other agendas involved at the top. But during the pandemic, boy, like many people, I would say that that's when I got truly red-pilled. And I realized, for want of a better word, that the medical industrial complex in, I can only speak for the US and UK, although I do believe that all countries in the West have this issue. I believe that we're ruled by complete lunatics, for want of a better word. They don't understand health and well-being. They're one-dimensional people, and their whole paradigm is, let's just throw more medicines and injections at people and never look at root causes, never look at why so many people are getting sick. All they want to do is just pile medicines on people. And it's completely the wrong philosophy. And it's against the philosophy of Hippocrates, the father of medicine, 2,500 years ago. He knew many ancient cultures, Indian culture, which I know you're very familiar with. If you look back at the writings on what is health and well-being all about, it was all based on lifestyle, with diet as the fundamental cornerstone. And we've simply forgotten that. And we're in a very dangerous place right now. And I fear that we may have gone past the point of no return.
Yes. And I would really hope that in the future, we can hear more voices like yours. Even though the research and the data, the science, like they call it now, is out there. But if you put this the science in front of their nose, they would still find a way to not agree. Now let's move on to the pandemic, because you were going into that. I saw in one of your videos that you were willing to leave your job. You were willing to leave the country, because you didn't believe that, the treatment was, researched enough. There was not enough data. How do you explain that you were able to see this, but some others are not able to see it clearly? How is this happening?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for others. I don't understand why more doctors didn't question this. I mean, when the shots came out, I immediately had questions. Well, firstly, I had already had COVID and it was very mild. Like, I've had worse flus before. I only took a day off work. Like, we didn't know at the time we even had COVID. I was still working out every day. It wasn't.
You were in New York at that time.
Near New York, yeah.
Near New York, yeah.
But I think I got the infection in New York, correct. And I thought, I just don't understand it. This seemed like a normal winter virus, and even winter viruses kill lots of people, sadly, every year. Yeah. And I knew I had great immunity. I knew I didn't need the vaccine, and I had like a lot of concerns about mRNA products. I'd read a lot. And I knew when the studies came out, because I actually took 10 minutes to read the study, which is available online. Most doctors apparently don't bother doing that. And I had all these questions and I wasn't going to take it. I knew I didn't need it. That technology in particular concerned me. I was not going to take any mRNA product. But sadly, most people who were being fed information by the establishment and the mainstream media couldn't see this. And they were doing what they were told. They were trusting of their authorities. I believe in France, the rules were even stricter than we had in the UK or US. And I unfortunately was ready 3 years ago because of the mandates which were put in force in the US, ready to just leave my job and move state or even leave the country, rather than sacrifice my bodily autonomy and take an injection that I didn't need. I was not going to do that. Thankfully, common sense prevailed, and I had some supporters who helped me through that, and I didn't need to take that step, but it was very close. It was very close.
Yeah, it was
very
close, yeah, because I believe there were different groups within the population when this came into being. There were those who believed the science blindly. There were those who would question and wait, but then the pressure started. If you don't do it, you lose your job. Like for me in France, we had to sign a paper to allow ourselves to leave the house for 2 hours, which had no sense, you know, like because you were signing it yourself. But it's just the movement. I mean, the idea of doing it, like you allow yourself 2 hours to go out to run errands and do those things. And I was not able to open my my center also if I didn't have the job. So I had to go around it. Yes, no, it was really difficult. And it happened also just before summer. And a lot of people gave up because they would not want to lose their summer holiday. So I feel there's a question also of priorities and courage also in the side of truth. We are, it's like good men don't stand up.
I completely agree with you. I'm with you. Yeah. You run a, you do yoga, right?
Yeah, we do yoga retreats. Yeah, and meditation and all this. And I have many people who are sick, who are depressed, who are, you know, they have, so they come here and just taking 4 or 5 days out of their ordinary life is enough to ignite something in them.
I love that. And do you have a lot of international customers too?
Yeah, we do usually in French and English. And it's very nice because people come sometimes from the US also.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And
yeah.
A lot from the UK. And it's so, for me, I say that it's so easy to help people feel better because people live a very bad life. So it's not very difficult to change a few things for them to feel the benefits straight away. Like they don't sleep regularly, they don't eat very well, they don't sit for a moment and be aware and conscious. So we are able to help them very easily, actually. There's no miracle.
Wow. That's a great way to put it. Yeah. And it was so sad. And I think even at a deeper philosophical level, obviously, if you're into yoga, I can imagine you're into Indian philosophy and philosophy in general. I mean, it's very rare that, especially during a time of crisis, that people are brave. I mean, you just need to read the history books. And I was thinking about it this morning on my walk. Like, you read everything from Socrates to everything that's ever happened. These sort of crazy things happening are a recurrent theme for humanity. And before you know it, humans are doing crazy things. I mean, you live in France. I mean, 100 years ago in World War I in the trenches, millions of young men were just being slaughtered for no reason. Whatsoever. I mean, look at what humans are capable of. And thankfully now, at least we were not facing bullets and grenades, but I don't think that humans will change in this respect, because why would we change if we haven't for thousands of years? I think the best thing that people can do is, like us, be aware of it. Now, as you know, I'm a great fan of Stoicism. I think Stoicism is a wonderful philosophy for like understanding that the only thing that you can change is your own reactions to situations. You will never change people. Like, people will always do crazy things, especially when there's a state of fear involved. And we can't really explain this. Like, how can people line up for an untested injections? How can people believe authorities? How can people not ask questions like, how did this start? It seems all evidence points to it coming from a lab, and people like Mr. Fauci knew from the very beginning that this was the case, and people are still not asking the right questions. So what can you say other than just you hope to be able to help as many people as you can and do the right thing for yourself and your family? That's the most any of us can do, really.
Yeah, it's difficult because it created a big divide within families also. Like, there are some topics that you are not allowed to say, especially if you are starting to talk about maybe there's some dangers to this injection, and those people have taken it. They don't like to talk about it, obviously, because it makes them fearful.
Yeah.
So the divide, I feel, was very, very well organized. But I feel if war keep happening again and we forget the atrocity, it's because we become naive also. If you look at the US Constitution, they had foreseen some of the things that would happen, but evil is very smart and always find corners and things. And we should always be skeptical. And
very true. And I think, I mean, I was born in London and grew up in the UK, but I'm now a dual citizen. And I'm so grateful for the US Constitution. I mean, what a great book. So that's the one thing that really saves people, because you take me, for instance, the way I talk out, I think in many countries, probably in France, maybe in the UK, definitely in Canada, if I spoke out like that, my license would be withdrawn and I'd be in big trouble. But in the US, there's very, very strict rules where you can say whatever you want as long as you're like on your own time. You know, you're doing it as a private citizen. And it's really difficult to go after somebody if they are doing something away from their workplace. Do you know what I mean? Because those free speech protections are there. And I think that ultimately is what saved me. And I may not have even had to leave the country, because half of the country, states like Florida, had no mandates. So I'm grateful that the US is a bit different, and it's sort of 50 countries in one country in a way. So what one state is doing. So I'll give you an example, like to enter restaurants, in one state, you may have needed to show a certificate, vaccine certificate, but you drive 10 miles to the next state and there's no rule like that because every state will do their own thing. So that is the one saving grace of the US is it's really difficult to take away free speech.
So I guess this is maybe a model that we should adopt because, right now France is in shambles. I don't know if you heard about the news, but it's
I saw that. Yeah.
Prime Minister, UK, also Spain, Italy. The whole of Europe is being controlled. And I feel there's even more censorship, but censorship is sneaky because you don't see censorship. You just don't see those things there. So you believe it's normal. It's very hard because censorship is not visible. But thankfully, I went to the US also. I lived there 1 year. I was in UK for 7 years. So I know more about US politics than French politics.
Interesting.
It's all entangled together. Do you know where your president-elect is today, right now?
Is he in Notre Dame? He's come to France?
Yes, he's in Notre Dame.
Great.
Zelensky is there. Biden's wife is there and Macron. So there is some weird things happening with this. It's a very important event. I believe they have backdoor negotiation and things. So let's see what happens. But it's very important, I guess, if Trump decided to go.
Yeah, it is. Well, actually, the US got a lot of its initial inspiration from France because France helped the US in the Revolutionary War. So it's interesting that France now is behind in some ways. Let me ask you your opinion. Do you think that the UK is a little bit less censored than France? Because France was really bad during the pandemic. You had stricter rules than the UK.
Yeah, I feel even without talking about the censorship, the world information, the world, all the body of information is more in English, first of all. So if French people don't speak English, and they don't generally, it limits them so much to know about the truth and what's happening. So somebody who is British can already, choose around in different countries and get information because many of them speak English in the medical field. But yeah, France is very much controlled. The media is controlled. If you turn on TV, you don't hear anything bad about the war with Ukraine. They don't support Putin. You can't even talk about Putin in a slightly positive way or he's done something good. Or maybe there's some questions there. Even your friends would look at you and think you're weird. Like they're all being programmed. So when I say maybe Macron is worse than Putin, I said this to my friend last week. He looked at me. It's like he had a glitch. And it's like, how? Where? How? France is really bad. But hopefully French spirit is still there. And
I hope so, because you're a great, great country. So during the pandemic when France was, because we used to hear crazy stories about things happening in France, was there much of a resistance? People were fighting the restrictions or they just went along?
There were some restrictions. There were some people waking up. But it was all hidden under the ground. We had Macron who came and put a lot of fear into people. He went to the camera, just like Biden did, like a script, a TV script, like a Hollywood movie, with the dark background and saying, basically, you will die if you don't do this. And he said people who refuse the jabs are idiots or like some really bad word he used. Biden used to say that you would die through the winter. But it showed me how actually it's a team together. Justin Trudeau, Biden, Macron. And Macron is quite high up on this also.
Yeah.
And also the Australian and New Zealand. Like for me, I woke up during the pandemic. And when I saw it, I there were some months or some weeks where I lost hope. I was very, I realized actually the world, how it we live in. But how I explain this to my student is that when you see the darkness, sooner or later, you start to see the light also.
Yeah.
There's a balance.
So after I started to see also, there were a lot of resistance and there were a lot of hope in a way, but you have to see it. And it's good also to know the truth.
Exactly.
It makes you feel, I want to know the truth.
Yeah. Where we'll put, and things change. It's like a pendulum. It's constantly swinging. Like, I could not have imagined even 6 months ago that in the US we'll have a completely new administration. Yes. Like, all of the top people coming in are think like us, basically. So we'll see what happens, because there's still a lot of forces there that will push back. But I'm much more optimistic now than I was before. There's a lot more freedom to talk online, Twitter, Elon Musk.
Yes.
But most people out there, sadly, are happier being controlled. I think there's a famous quote, I forget what it is, like, most people are happier living securely in a lie than being set free by the truth and being on
the right. Because change is scary.
Yeah.
We don't like change.
But now the difficulty, because I feel the future is not set in stone. It's always adjusting. It's always changing. So it could go either way every day, because before we didn't have any hope. It was, and now there is hope. But if we, like, there's too much also celebration in the media and America about Biden won, Trump won, and they want to make also the wokeist feel bad. So I don't want to attack the people who are following this trend and this ideology, because they've been programmed. We are falling into this trap again. We should focus on the people who are setting up those strategies, setting up those programs and this propaganda. We should not fight the consumers of it. That's where we get divided.
Yeah, good way to put it.
That's right. Yeah.
And did you hear about the new pandemic?
I did. I heard a little bit about it.
There's Fauci's second in command, Dr. Peter Hotez. I saw in one of your videos you were saying that when you see Fauci, you just know that you feel a little sick.
I feel sick.
When I see Peter Hotez,
I just see the mad scientist in a
James Bond movie or something.
Yeah, he blocked me on social media. He's terrible. Okay. Yeah.
He's awful. He blocks the truth.
Yeah.
But now he's been saying that on January 21st, there's a big chance that there will be a new pandemic. And he cited all the reasons and all the different kind of viruses and all that could come on 21st.
Oh, just by coincidence.
Yes. So I don't know if that's something we should worry about, but they don't look very serene. They don't look cocky. Whether it's Macron or Fauci is hiding right now, but... I feel they are tense also. So that's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I mean, it could have gone the other way, Luda. If the election had gone the other way, it would be status quo. Everything the same. At least there's a chance now that things are going to be shaken up. And there's people at the top now who at least think more like us.
Yeah. And how are your colleagues in the medical field, all of your colleagues, like, are they treating you differently? Do you feel this? Do you have time to?
No, I mean, in terms of my everyday clinical work, if you are very busy, I would say the medical community, at least that I'm around, is not as one, don't all think the same way as people may think. But the problem is people like me just are just beaten into submission, and they don't want to speak up. They never will. They won't go on social media. They won't talk. And the biggest problem that we have in medicine is our authorities. The physician societies and medical associations are just ruled by complete clowns who are completely beholden to big business. And they are the reason, I would say, for lots of our problems. I blame them, because we basically wouldn't have even had the pandemic response had doctor leaders stood up and said, no, let's be more logical, let's be calm. It was all just a complete panic. Lock yourselves in your houses, then you must take the shot.
Yeah.
No common sense. But I would go as far to say, you may disagree with me and feel free to do that. I blame doctors for 99% of it, because there's no way that the governments would have done what they did if they were getting different advice from doctors.
Mm.
They wouldn't have. Yeah. If let's just say what's the main medical association in France called?
I'm not sure about their name.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Maybe it's whatever. Let's call it the French Medical Association. If they immediately came out and said, look, this illness, it's like the flu. Let's be sensible. You don't need to shut down. You can live your life, and let's deal with this in a common sense way. We know the vulnerable groups. Then the president wouldn't have gone against the main medical group talking about health. It's the medical associations and physician societies that were completely panicked. They are completely bought by Big Pharma. They wanted to wait for the vaccine because they're being paid by the vaccine companies. That's the main reason, I'd say, for the pandemic response.
Yeah. So do you think Trump was, in a way, misled?
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was in a... he tried. He talked from the beginning. He tried to say some common sense things. Like, I remember he said, we can't make the cure worse than the disease. Mm. And because he was thinking logically, he's obviously a businessman. He's going to think logically and understand the financial implications as well of locking the country down. But he tried, but the medical establishment was just wild. And they were also very political. They wanted him out of office.
Yeah, because now he still doesn't talk about it as if there has been some mistakes. He still says, I'm the one who made it possible, the Operation Warp Speed. So maybe he cannot really say everything yet. But I remember that image when he came out of his helicopter and he removed his mask. It was so powerful, even for us watching from Europe, that this image of removing your mask, just like
it's a great movie, actually. Everything is
happening. Yeah, it is, like everything he does, from like when he got shot nearly. I mean, it's all about symbolism. And I agree. I mean, he didn't need to wear a mask outside. And I'll never forget the opposite when Biden won the election, how they were all wearing masks outside. And that was their whole platform, that we need to wear masks and get out of the pandemic that way.
No, I hope that I hope that's going to be a lot better now. And let's keep sharing the truth. And I would like to ask you a few things. What do you support the body positivity movement?
No, I don't. For want of a better word, sir, body positivity movement is a death cult. And I don't think that this is as much a thing in France. I mean, maybe it's gaining hold, but I was astounded when we came to Paris in the summer and we spent time. I mean, most people were thin around us, and we went into stores that it clearly is a different culture over there. And fatness is not celebrated like it is in America. When were you last in America? How long ago?
I was there in 2003 to 2004. I was in the 12th year, so I graduated. Yeah, I was in an American family.
Okay.
And at that time, I was thin and I wanted to gain weight. So I was eating everything I could. And I gained like 7 kg in 3 months. But obviously, for somebody who was like already light, that's a lot of weight. And I gained a lot of fat, and I had a lot of problems after, obviously, even though I was still thin. But basically over there, everything is oversized.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Yeah. And it's very toxic. It's very processed, full of chemicals.
Yeah.
But I would say back then things were not as bad. Like, I moved to the US in 2005. It was not as bad. I mean, the last 5 years in particular have gone off the charts, but this has been increasing for about 10 years. And it's completely in line with the woke movement of no personal accountability. You're not in charge of your destiny. And the body positivity movement is actually led by very sinister forces in the US who want to make money from this. And they know that if people are obese, they're going to be inflamed, they're going to get illnesses, and then they're going to profit afterwards.
Yeah.
But the body positivity movement is a death cult. I mean, you may as well celebrate cancer. You may as well celebrate people getting type 2 diabetes. There's nothing positive. I'm not saying that you shame people, but you have to have some sort of cultural push as well to not be overweight, to not indulge yourself. You need some accountability. And there was a famous social media meme that was going around of a few years ago. There were all these body positivity people who were like, they were on social media gaining attention. They were eating donuts and pizzas. And they said that every single one of them died before they were 60. Every single one. Yeah. And it's a death cult. You can't celebrate overweight.
It's a perfect example of how evil is sneaky. So sometimes I believe that they actually, those people get in the room and they actually go with advisors and they find those things because it's so well designed. Like, obviously, you don't want to make fun of people who are fat. You want to respect them. You want to help them. But at the same time, if you don't say anything, you don't help them. But they always hide behind the same thing with transgenderism. You don't want to be against them and isolate them and point them with the fingers and make them sad and they kill themselves. You want to help them, but it's always very sneaky, every kind of drama of wokeism.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, what you have to remember about wokeism, why it's sneaky, is it's not about, they claim it's about helping minorities and not suppressing people. Actually, it becomes about narcissism, because ultimately what it becomes about is that the whole world has to say what I am and accept me. No questions are allowed. You must do what I want. You must view the world the same as me. If you dare ask me any questions, you're a bigot. Because I'm the one. Everything I say is correct. It's all narcissism when you think about it.
It's narcissism, yeah.
It's not about helping people. It tips over. Evil is sneaky. Again, as you said, you start with something and then it becomes about dominance. The same with minorities. I mean, I grew up as a minority in England. I suffered with some racism growing up, but the pendulum has moved the other way now, where you have groups that actually don't want equality. They actually want dominance.
And did your parents grow up in India?
Yeah, in the north of India, in Punjab. So they moved from India to England in the 1960s.
So I don't know if you know about this, I'm sure you do, but in America, the most successful ethnic group are Indians.
In England.
And the one who pay the most amount of taxes in the US proportionally to their size are Indians. And in the university and everywhere, like, how to explain? Is it the culture?
I think it can be explained quite easily. Yes. Yeah. I mean, and this is also something wokeism doesn't understand, is you can spout stuff till the cows come home, but there are certain fundamental truths. And what makes a very successful community of any ethnicity, whatever ethnicity you're talking about? Number one, strong family values. So nuclear families. You look at Indians who grow up, they are all growing up in nuclear families, mom, dad, siblings, very close family units, number one. Number two, a focus on education from the very beginning. Hammered into you need to be educated. And number three, surrounded by positive role models. And those three things, when they come together, any community will be successful. And those are the three things that I would say vast majority of Indians growing up in England and the US have. It's a shame that India is obviously still behind, third world country. But if it actually had resources, because it has those three things which are promoted, the sky would be the limit. It would be the richest country in the world.
Yeah, like for me, because I am married to an Indian woman, so we have two French Indian kids.
Where in India are you from?
Above Delhi, so she's from the Himalayan.
I'm having a blind spot.
You're going to be in trouble
Rishikesh.
When she sees this.
Yeah.
You'll be in trouble.
Uttarakhand, basically. Uttarakhand?
Yeah, so I spent 2 years there. So now that when I came back, like before I left, I went to India, people told me, oh, you're going to be traumatized going to India. Are you sure you want to go? I don't know why they were saying this. And I went there. It was a shock for me. After 2 days, I wanted to leave. Especially I went to a village, I went to an ashram and I was like, whoa. But after, I was so happy to have gone there, so blessed. But when I come back to France, that's when the trauma came, actually, because I realized, yes, economically, France has more money, maybe. But India is more rich. India is more rich in many ways, actually. In culturally, schools are better in India. Like, I would prefer my children to go to India. Because France, I think we are beyond Azerbaijan or something in mathematics, where we should be normally number four, number five. Over there, you go, you have your rituals. It's not very well received, a student who has bad grades. In France, it would be seen as cool, you know? It's like the culture is gone. Like people in France, they don't cook. Over there in India, everybody cooks. Now it's changing. You see a lot of obesity in India.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Because it becomes easy, you know?
Yeah.
But I would say India is richer than France when you add all the categories. And I feel it has a very important role. Obviously, you see the Modi and Trump relationship, the Prime Minister of India with Trump. They have a very close relationship. And it shows even Macron is always trying to be close with Modi also. So I feel India has a very important role to play in what's to come.
And I'm very proud to be half Indian almost.
Yeah, of course. Well, yeah, good for you. I mean, I'm very proud to be of Indian descent. I think there are many great things about Indian culture and which have been instilled in me. Obviously, the country has many problems, corruption and a very dishonest system. And that's why people want to leave the country. But if they sorted that out, the sky would be the limit. This is the sort of, again, the trajectory of nations. You know, you are poor, you work hard, you become rich, and then you get complacent and so on and so forth.
You become poor again.
it's an inevitable cycle. So that's a cycle. I did hear it put well very recently. Somebody said that actually, like, people are surprised over the last 30 years that India and China are coming up. When actually, if you look at history for the last 2,000 years, India and China were always up there in terms of being wealthy. And then they just came down for like a couple of hundred years. And now they're just going back to where they have always been. So it's actually the other way around. It's actually resetting back rather than something new. You see what I'm saying?
It's very interesting. Yeah.
I've loved my visits to India, been there many times growing up. And it doesn't surprise me at all when I look at statistics for England and the US that Indians have done so well because of those fundamentals which are in place. And, you know, we also, you know, we criticize the West a lot, but I think one great thing about Western countries, I can only speak for the UK and US, is they are very encouraging. Like, if people work hard, and especially if you have an entrepreneurial streak, you can do really well. The sky is the limit, whereas people can work hard in India and they won't get any financial rewards.
Yeah. At least there is, especially in America, the American dream is still vibrant. They were trying to suppress it. In France, it's more difficult because we are very highly taxed.
I heard.
And yeah.
So much is going, and now the budget and the deficit is so bad. They only come up with a solution to increase more taxes. That's the solution. So they ask, we are going to have to make an effort. Everyone has. But it's been like the last 15 years, we have to make efforts. And I believe, just like when Trump became president, in 3 months, he reversed all the statistics. Everything was booming. I feel in France, if I can be honest, they are willingly doing this. I feel it's a wet blanket on the economy. I feel they're suppressing the economic growth also because it keeps people in check. That's what I believe. It keeps the power, you know, at those people at the top. Because when you start to see Trump, how he did, he just removed things mostly. And then it was booming. I feel in France, the same thing. People are really wanting to work hard and want, but it's very difficult.
That's sad. That's sad.
Yeah. Well, there is still hope.
Yeah, there is. It's funny. We watch actually Emily in Paris, which gives
a good one.
It's really good. It's very big in America, but it gives people the impression that actually France has a whole load of business and rich people. Obviously, it's not real, but that's the impression it gives.
Yeah, I feel there's a lot of rich people in France, but it's been socialist and communist for a long time. So they're trying, instead of pulling people up to make them more rich, they're trying to shame people who have money. Like in France, it's very hard to show money. You should hide your nice things. You don't want, because people feel jealous and they don't. In America, it's like, oh, look at his car. Look at his thing. They respect people who have succeeded. In France, it's a problem for us. It's culturally a problem. We don't want to be rich.
Interesting.
That's weird.
Yeah, the UK is probably in between somewhere. France.
Yes.
Yeah. US. Yeah.
Okay. So you also do a lot of videos about health tips. Can you just throw a few things?
How to easily change your health for our listeners.
Yeah. Well, again, people in France are probably well ahead of us in the US and UK, but I would say The number one thing that people can do in this current environment is minimize ultra processed foods. What do I mean by this? So these are foods that you buy in a package, usually have a list of ingredients, and laws are different in different countries. In the US, they get away with putting horrible things in food like artificial sugars, seed oils, preservatives, dyes, and all of these things are making people very sick. So what you want to do is eat real food, which means buying ingredients, ideally fresh, organic, from a natural farm. Cook yourself. Nothing beats cooking yourself. You know what's in the food. They haven't had a chance to pollute it. That's number one. And then after that, my diet tips would be always optimize protein intake, especially as anybody gets older. Most people are not eating enough protein. Ideally, you want a minimum of 1.5 grams per kilogram of body weight. So someone weighing 70 kilos, 105, 110 grams of protein minimum daily.
And do you advise them to take an extra protein on the side, like a protein powder or something?
I'm okay with protein powders. Just be careful that you are having minimally processed. Have it as pure as possible. And a lot of the protein drinks that you can get are full of sugars and the processed materials. So be very careful. But I'm totally okay with protein powder. I consume that sometimes too.
Okay.
When I'm not hitting my goals. Then you want to maximize antioxidants. So for people who don't know, antioxidants are substances that neutralize the free radicals that are produced in your body, which are implicated in many processes, including inflammation and aging. So foods that are high in natural antioxidants are typically your colorful vegetables and fruits. My favorite, I eat every day, I consider it my medicine, are fresh organic blueberries. Eat
them. Blueberries, yes. Wild blueberries, even better, no?
Yeah, wild blueberries, even better. Full of antioxidants. One cup contains more antioxidants than five servings of fruits and vegetables. So for many years, I eat a cup of blueberries every single day.
Mm. Yeah, actually, here we do a lot of smoothies for breakfast. So my favorite fruit is banana. It's an organic banana. But then blueberries... papaya also very good for the hydration, and it feels good. And mangoes also, wild mangoes. So yeah, that's thank you for this advice.
Yeah, those would be my main advice. But number one thing, eat real food. And it's very difficult to get sick if you eat real food. It's all the fake stuff and sugary stuff that makes you unwell.
Yeah, so it takes commitment. You have to cook, you have to find the time, turn off the TV.
Exactly.
And you become good at it after, maybe. So I'm very lucky because my wife is a great cook.
Ultimately, you feel good and you don't want to go back.
Yeah. Like before, when I went to India and I started this journey, I was I had a poor health. I was always falling sick easily. And I was searching everywhere to find, and my mom was into very much the science approach of, you know, believing in everything. And I went through all this kind of medical treatments and all. But it's only when I started to eat fresh food, cook myself, exercise, that I saw the change. And now I don't fall sick, actually. I might feel like my body is going through something, but if I relax, if I rest, it doesn't ripe into like a diagnostic of being sick, like having a cold, like really strong one. So for me, it's been a very big journey.
Mm. But
what about supplements? Do you recommend people to take supplements?
I do. Yeah. So my three favorite supplements by far, if you can't get it naturally, are turmeric, ginger, and vitamin D, my main ones. Actually, we just launched our own supplement brand with natural, organic, USA-made supplements. But those I've been taking for many years. Turmeric, you're very familiar with. Huge anti-inflammation, antioxidant antioxidant effects. Ginger, very much the same. Vitamin D, most people in the West don't get enough of. So those would be my three main ones. And there's many other anti-inflammation supplements that can be taken. I'm a big fan of many Indian spices, ajwain, neem.
I'm taking also ashwagandha. I like
ashwagandha for memory. Yep.
Yeah. So great. So maybe you can tell us where our listeners can find this product and to learn more about yourself.
So our company is called Ojai Wellness. And basically, we are starting a whole line of natural supplements. So ojaiwellness.com. You can find it via my website as well. So my name is SunilDan.com. And from there, you can learn about it, make sure it's right for you. We do actually, we have shipped a fair bit to France, many French customers. Okay. But we're soon going to be launching a European operation as well. So we'll have like a locally, more locally sourced. And my website also has my other work. I've got health programs helping people naturally lose fat, reverse insulin resistance, deal with other things like stress and sleep. You can find my work there. And of course, where you found me on YouTube, I presume is where I most of my videos are.
It's possible also to do one-on-one consultation.
Yes, I do it.
You must be very busy.
But I do have. So I work with my assistant, and we open up slots every week where I do consultations and phone calls, and happy to do those because ultimately that's what it's about, teaching, helping people one by one.
One by one, yeah, it's all different. Huh? It's all unique. So anyway, we'll put all this information in the comments below the video so people can find you.
Thank you.
All right, so thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing more of your video. I like when you stop on your way to work and you're like, I have to stop and ask.
Make a video in my car spontaneously. All authentic. Yeah.
Very nice. Yeah. And hopefully if you come by Geneva also, feel free to call me, and it would be nice to show you our place and our restaurant also. We have a restaurant.
Oh, fantastic. And what type
fresh
of
food?
It's organic, it's Indian inspired. It's like what you eat at home, but organic and high-end products basically that other restaurants don't buy because they are too expensive. And my wife is like passionate about food since she was a child. And she likes, she knows like very little spices and the way it's cooked also. And so we eat very well. And it was part of the reason why I healed also.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah.
So, thank you so much. And keep the good fight.
Will do.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Sunil.